Morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you again. Before we start a presentation this morning, I just want to take a couple of seconds and on behalf of Teen Challenge staff and students, express my condolences to the congregation, to the friends and family of Bruce Kane. What a wonderful man, what a wonderful ministry. What a wonderful legacy, and praise God, we'll be reunited with Bruce one day, because we serve a great God, and I know that Bruce is right in the presence of the Lord as we speak. So I just wanted to express that on behalf of staff and students at Teen Challenge. I'm just wondering if there is anyone here who does not know about the ministry of Teen Challenge. If you don't know who we are, what we do, raise your hand. Super. That makes my life a lot simpler. I'm also wondering if there are anyone here, I'm sure that there are, but if you are a monthly sponsor, could you raise your hand? Thank you so much. You really are the wind beneath our wings. And we can talk a little bit more about sponsorship as we go through the program. Today what I want to do is, I don't want to be up here doing most of the speaking today. I'm going to invite the guys to come and share just in a couple of minutes. But what I wanted to do to start things off was just give you a little bit of an update on what we've been up to in the last 12 months since I was here last. Perfect. As most of you know, Teen Challenge has been serving Northern Ontario since about 2001. But really, we serve more than just Northern Ontario, because our men come from right across Canada. They come from Alberta, Saskatchewan, James Bay. They come from Southern Ontario. They come from the East Coast. And, you know, so really it's a nationwide ministry that's happening right here in Sault Ste. Marie. And you are a part of that. You know, I'm trying to express to the congregations and the people that I meet all across the North that what happens up on Great Northern Road is not Teen Challenge Canada's ministry to the North. It's Teen Challenge in partnership with the local church. It's our ministry to all of Canada. And you are a vital, vital part of it, of our ministry team. That's a picture of our center there. Many of you have been on site to either to pick up firewood or drop things off. You know that it's not a really big building, you know, but we have capacity for 10 students, and we could have up to 4 interns, but I could tell you we would be bursting at the rafters if we had that many men all at one time. Currently, we have 5 students, and we have 2 Phase 4 interns, and we have 2 coming in tomorrow and Tuesday, and possibly another one the week following. So we could be up to 8 students by this time, the end of next week. So we're getting crowded. And if any of you have been through our building, you know how tense that can be, because upstairs in that upstairs dorm, there is 1 toilet and there is 1 shower for that number of guys. But we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Since we were here last year, it's been our privilege to be able to minister to 25 different men in the last 12 months. And I want to let you know that some of those men graduated, have returned to their families, returned to the workforce. Some have decided to stay here in Sault Ste. Marie and make it their home, and they are plugging into the community. They're involved in church. You have seen some of them have come here and have been involved with the different services. Some of those men are still struggling. Some decided to leave the program early. And I want you to know, and I want to ask you to continue to pray for all Teen Challenge students, past, present, and future. You know, from the minute that they come through the door, we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we believe that the seed has been sown into their lives. and that God will continue to nurture it. He'll continue to tend to it, and he will bring growth, and fruit will be born in their lives. So please continue to pray. Just wanted to share a couple of pictures, fairly recent pictures from around the center. This was at Christmas time. You know, our students stay with us at Christmas. They don't go home. A lot of times there's traditions and there's things that involve drinking or maybe drug use in their past, and it could just be a really stressful time. So the guys stay with us. We try to make it as best as possible, and I know a lot of you helped contribute to that. We got so many donations and gifts from around the community. We were able to bless the guys wonderfully. So just a couple shots of them on Christmas Day. We also like to get out and explore the beautiful creation that God has blessed this area with. I mean, there is just some of the most fantastic views anywhere in the world, right here, within a short drive. So this was just taken on one of the days where we decided to take our chapel outside of the classroom, and we went out to Grow Cap, and we spent it up on the bluffs, and we spent time with God up there, and a couple of the guys just reflecting and spending some time in meditation. From time to time, we get to do things like baptize people in St. Mary's River. this past summer. We were over in Brimley, Michigan, doing an outreach, and they just so happened to be having a baptismal service after the morning service, so they invited us to be part of that, and one of our guys wanted to get baptized, so there was water right there, so we went down into the river, and we baptized him. We also had a baptismal service about 2 weeks ago, not in the river, but in a church locally, and one of our current students and two of our former students got baptized on that day, so it was wonderful. Just a couple of pictures from around the center. Here's our work detail. The guys cutting and split the firewood there. Many of you have purchased that. Thank you for that. And the other part of our day, besides the firewood project and cutting and splitting firewood, involves classroom time. So the guys have a curriculum that they go through. It really is a discipleship program. It takes them from salvation through to sanctification, everything in the middle. And so they spend about half their day doing that, as well as receiving counseling one-on-one. And also we bring in some guest speakers from time to time. We bring them out to different church activities. They've been here for Walk Through the Bible. We try to plug them in and get them to meet and network with as many of the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ in the area as possible. So many of you have taken advantage of that, and I know that you have met a lot of our guys. The secret of our success, plain and simple, is Jesus Christ. From the minute they walk through the door, as I said, we introduce them to Jesus, and we preach the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 talks about how the word is good for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training, and to equip and to prepare for every good work. And Hebrews 4 says that there is power in the word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes our thoughts and desires. That's what the Teen Challenge program is all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about learning from him and submitting to him. And I thank you so much for the song that was presented this morning. It's so true. We can't do it alone. And that's what we're all about. We're about introducing the men to the one who can help them through all of their life's problems. Now, I told you already that I wasn't going to stand up here and talk the whole time. So I'm going to follow through on my promise. And I'm going to invite one of our guys here just a second. First of all, guys, just want to stand. I have Charles and Leonard with me this morning. That's all right. You can go ahead and clap. Now, if you're not really familiar with Teen Challenge, you may be wondering, well, where are the teens? Well, we were all once teenagers, I can assure you. Anyway, I'm going to invite Charles to come just for a few minutes and just share what God has been doing in his life. So this is Charles, and Charles is just about to start his third month. so he's a little fresh, so go easy on him this morning. Just have a couple of...
prepared, by the way, guys.
It's okay. So, Charles, you're just about to start your third month, but tell the folks where you're from.
Originally from the Goderich area, and raised in the surrounding area most of my life, and been in Kitchener for the last 5 years, married, with a three-year-old son.
So, Charles, could you share with the folks a little bit about what your life was like, say, in the year prior to coming to Teen Challenge?
Okay, well, just a quick little snapshot. Been Christian for 14 years, and the last year I walked away from God for, it's been the third time I walked away from the Lord, and my life just collapsed on itself. I come from addiction, and when I walked away from the Lord, I walked away from grace, and my life, I went from... Let's just say, if it wasn't for Jesus and Him using the people that reached out into my life, I wouldn't have made it. Because I was going down a real bad slope. And the worst one ever that I've ever been on. So, yeah. And, sorry. I just thank the Lord for His servants who stood by me and never gave up on me, and were there, willing, ready, and able to help me to get here. So
you've been here just about 3 months now. What has the Lord been teaching you?
Obedience, trust, to submit to those who have authority over me. It's for my own good, you know, to walk in obedience and under authority. It helps to build character. So when I first came, the first couple of weeks were rough. It was tough. I was ready to pack it in, and thankfully the wise counsel here through our life coach and counselor, Marie, and through Chuck, and through some pastors back home, I slept on it, and God gave me a vision of what life was going to look like if I left, and through dreams, and they weren't dreams, they were nightmares. It was going to be bad, and so since then, I've embraced this program, and I, like, what an opportunity, guys, I'm telling you. There's people that I know. Sorry. There's people out there that don't have an opportunity like this to get to go, to get away from all of the struggles, all the distractions in life, and to just be Christ-centered, to grow and learn in the Lord. What an opportunity to be truly discipled. I never had that. I never had this opportunity to take time away from life, and just, it's a blessing. You know, it really is. I don't take it for granted anymore. I don't.
We were talking the other day, and you were sharing with me a little bit, Charles, about the Lord has been putting some dreams back into your heart about what life can be like when you're all through with the Teen Challenge program. Just share a little bit about that.
Here they come again. Sorry, guys.
That's all right, bro.
Before I came to TC, when I was, you know, I was still struggling practically all the way to the program. And, but God, years ago, He's put it on my heart for the longest time that he wants to use me. And this time when I was coming back around, and he spoke to me, and I believe it was him. He said, you know, I don't put this on myself. You know, these aren't thoughts that I would think of. And he wants to use me to bring hope to the hopeless. So I think through all of my life experiences and my battles, you know, that's how God wants to use us. You know, he wants to, so we can help those that might be stumbling, those who are lost, those who don't know another way, you know.
So God's birthing in you a desire to share what you've learned, what you've received, and really that's our calling, folks. That's what we've been called to do. We've been called to share the good news, and the Lord is starting to build that back into Chuck's life, Charles's life, and it's just wonderful to watch you grow and to continue to move forward in your faith. So God bless you, Charles. Thank you so much.
And I just want to say one more thing, if I could. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You know, we all struggle. We all have different stories, different upbringings. I didn't grow up in the church, but I'm telling you, and I'm not saying my story is any more important than anyone else's. I know everyone's story is equally important as the next. But I'll tell you, God can do miraculous things in people's lives. He can literally transform people. And I'm just thankful for Teen Challenge to have this opportunity to... This is my vision that I had. Here lies the flesh of Charles Popp. And here stands Charles Popp in the spirit. Last time I want to die to the flesh. You know, this is it, permanent. I want just, all the way.
So that was the first time that Charles has shared publicly. So, you know, just props. Props to our friend here, Charles, for having the strength and the courage to come and share some really intimate things. You know, sharing your testimony is a huge part of your walk, and it is part of the program. We encourage the guys right from, you know, day one that they will be sharing their stories. And because when you speak what's happening in your life, it makes it more real. It makes it more concrete. And as they share their stories, they just are a blessing, and they are blessed as well. I just want to share a couple of things about our program. The cost that these guys that they have to come to our program is $1,100 for the year, and that works out to about $3 a day. And you know, you might be wondering, how in the world do you do that for $3 a day? Well, we can't. Really, truthfully, the cost of our program is closer to $50,000 for each man that comes to our center. And so, you know, we don't rely on government funding, and we don't go out soliciting it, because governments change and their policies change, and we never want to be in a position where we are dependent on something that can be pulled out from underneath us at a moment's notice. So we rely on donations. We rely on all sorts of different ways of raising the funds that are necessary, that we can keep that cost so low of $1,100. So it's not restrictive. There has to be a little bit of cost. The men have to have a little bit of value, but you know, some of the secular programs that run for 30, 60, or 90 days can be as much as $10,000 per month. So, you know, there's a gap here. There's lots of things that we do. I just want to share with you a few things, and you're probably familiar with a couple of these. First of all, we have a golf tournament every year. And this year's golf tournament is going to be on the 4th of July, 2016, at Crimson Ridge. Last year, we had a great turnout. It was one of the biggest turnouts we'd had in years. We were hoping to raise $45,000. We raised $64,000. Amen. Andrew, I'm putting you down for Monday, July 4th, all right? You have to get the time off. We also have a motorcycle ride in September, the end of September. And this year's ride is the 24th of September. This year we had, I think, 30 participants, 28 motorcycles, which was about 6 to 8 motorcycles more than it was the previous year. We were hoping to raise $7,500. We raised $9,100. And it was fantastic. If you ride a motorcycle and you would be interested in coming on our motorcycle ride, take one of my business cards and give me a call, and I'll give you the information. If you're a golfer and you'd like to join Andrew on the golf course this year, please take one of my business cards off the table, and I'll get you the information. I would love to see it if Bethel had a foursome, or maybe two foursomes. It'd be great. It'd be fantastic. I also mentioned to you the firewood project. You know, we cut and split the firewood. We sell it locally. That raises for us about $20,000 to $25,000. So if you add those three things up, it comes to $100,000. And it costs about $50,000 for each student. With a capacity of 10, you can see that there's a little bit of a gap there. The rest of that is made up through things like direct mail. Maybe you're on our mailing list and you receive the newsletters and, you know, and different appeals that go out in the mail. And, you know, that's a huge part. But really, the engine that drives us, the revenue engine that drives Teen Challenge, is the monthly sponsorship program. And thank you again so much to those of you who are already monthly sponsors. I would like you to consider it. If the Lord has blessed you and you're feeling drawn that way, to participate in our ministry. It's not just an ask for your finances. It's an invitation to participate. Because we invite our sponsors to write cards and notes and letters to their student. You'll get a little picture card like this here that you can put on a refrigerator, and it just talks about the student and has his birthday on there, just as a reminder to pray for him. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times when a student has been struggling and really going through some tough times, when a card, a note, a letter has arrived from their sponsor. And it speaks directly into the heart of what's going on, whether it's a verse, a prayer, a verse of a song, just a note of encouragement. You know, the Holy Spirit, God, our God is so good to us, and he loves us so much. And he chooses, or he uses people like you to love others. And these guys, man, they get that. So please, you know, if you're feeling drawn that way, please consider it, and maybe come and speak with me at the table afterwards. And of course, you know, it all leads to the payoff at the end, the graduation, and just a few shots of some of our grads recently. Of course, and the best thing that I get to experience is when we get to reunite one of our students with his family. And that's what it's all about. You know, we spoke a little bit about the testimonies and how important they are. The word says that we shall overcome. In Revelations, it says that we shall overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Leonard's going to come now, and he's going to share how the Lord has been helping him to become an overcomer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was good. First, I'm going to pray in my language. First name is Leonard. I'm from James Bay, Ontario. I'm from a reserve called Fort Albany. It's a reserve about the size of 1,000 people, approximate. That's where I was born. And on this reserve, when I was growing up on this reserve, the things that I can remember was all the violence and the alcohol abuse that I seen. There was just rampant, and there was a lot of violence and abuse. When I was growing up, I hardly remember my sisters due to the fact that there was a residential school on our reservation. And there were my sisters, I have seven sisters. I lose count sometimes. I got a lot of sisters. I hardly knew my sisters because they were taken from me as a child. They were put in the residential school on the reserve. So that left me, MJ and I, at the house. There was a lot of times we woke up when we found out we were left alone. We'd wake up and just listen, and there would be nobody in the house. It would just be quiet, and we knew we were left alone again. We were just young children. In that little white house that we used to live in, we got up, and we'd start crying because of fear. Nobody to feed us and nobody to protect us. I was thinking about that this morning when we were singing that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. As a child, my sister needed me. I remember climbing up the cupboards looking for food to eat just for her and I, because there was nobody there to feed us. I had to climb the cupboards because she couldn't. I didn't realize now she needed me, even though she was only a year younger. I miss my sister. I love her. We were crying one morning when we woke up one of the mornings. We were just crying and we were scared. And something miraculous happened that morning. An angel came to us. The angel said, came down and said, Kawana matuk, kawana segis, nihunde dan. Do not be afraid. Do not cry, for I am here. And within that split second, something miraculous happened. The fear was gone. There was just pure joy. We were giggling and laughing like little children should be doing. My first incident with having an experience with the Lord. And as we were growing up, there was a lot of instances of the violence that would break out inside the house with total strangers being there having parties in the house. I remember running away from our house I wasn't running. My sisters were carrying me, that much I remember. They would take me to my grandmother's house. Yeah, thank God for grandmothers. Yeah. I miss my grandmother. There was a time when I was growing up as a young child in adolescence. It got to the point where there was a lot of abuse and loneliness and shame. By the time I was, if I could recall, I think by 12, I hated life. I did not want to live, but I did not know what suicide was. I'm pretty sure if I knew, I would have attempted. This is what plagues the Northern Reserves, is a high rate of suicide among the youth. And about this time, I discovered some of my dad's stash in his room. So I took about an ounce of each from his bottle, and I filled it up. First time I had ever had alcohol, I drank that. And within a few minutes after I drank it, I felt this warm glow go through my body, just a sensation. After that, I felt that warmth. I was like, wow. This feels good. So I went outside to go see my friends. All my friends were playing outside my house, our house. The sun was shining. The sky was blue. I said, wow, life is beautiful. Life is awesome because of what this fake security gave me. I had no fear at that moment, and no sadness. I didn't feel any hurt. I didn't feel any anger. All I felt was a sense of elation and a sense of confidence to be able to break out of my shyness. I felt free. This is the part of my life where I call that I had awoken the dragon. And for 2 decades after that, I went wherever this dragon was available and where it took me. By that time, as I was growing up to become a teenager, I attempted to live a normal teenage life, trying to finish school, just trying to live a normal teenage life, but it was progressive. My addiction was progressive. By this time, my brother was a Christian. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. I wasn't interested in it. He was reading a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. He was reading that book. And he had told me about this guy, Wilkerson, and about Teen Challenge. But I didn't think I had a problem then. So I just left it at that, but the seed had been planted. I was about 19. I was like, no, I'm not ready. I wanted to discover what this party life was all about. So I left my reserve, moved to the cities where it was readily available. The party life was much better from all the other high school students that came home to my reserve. That's what I wanted to experience. By 19, I was a full-blown alcoholic. I realized, I get up in the morning, that if I need a drink, first thing in the morning to function, then there's something wrong with me. By 21 years old, I was so addicted to drugs and alcohol, when I stopped drinking, I started having seizures from withdrawals because my body needed it, like your body needs air. I could not function without it. My body needed it. I've been hospitalized so many times to get medical attention to go through withdrawals if I wanted to stop. And of all the times that I should have been dead from the high amount of alcohol that was in my body and drugs, the doctors would come into the emergency room and they would flip the curtain over and they would look at me and they'd say, Leonard, how are you feeling? I would be like, I feel like crap. And I said, well, you should. Well, you should. And they said, I don't understand. This is not the first time. I do not understand how you're still alive. He said, medically and legally, you should be dead. So for the amount that you have in your body, you should be dead. I counted medically, there were so many times that doctors could not do anything for me when I was in the hospital that they let me write it out because there was no medication or nothing for the amount or when they found me unconscious. There was nothing they could do for me. They just waited for me to come to. And my crazy addiction, when I would wake up after they detach all the wires off me, all right, can I go now, please? Like my friends out on the streets are waiting for me. If you don't detach me, I'll do it myself. And within 5 minutes, I'm out of the hospital. This is in the city of Toronto. I would, not even 5-10 minutes later, I find my friends and do the same thing over and over again. So I think God had his hand on me all these times, but I didn't appreciate it. By this time, I had become a transient. I lived on the streets for 15 years on and off. I lived in the streets. You had to have friends, live in a group for protection, for security, and for the benefits of feeding each other's addictions. I slept everywhere when I was on the streets, when I chose to live on the streets. I slept in alleyways, cubbyholes, behind churches, forests, under bridges. Sometimes if I had made enough money, I would go to a restaurant like Tim Hortons, McDonald's in Toronto. They let you sleep it off if you buy something through the night. Or I'd go to an internet cafe, pay for my fee, and sit there till morning. And sunrise would come. And I would repeat this process day after day, night after night. And I did this for years. It was a pretty rough life living on the streets and sleeping on it. I had friends that had been murdered. I have friends that have been raped. And there's a lot of beatings that happen just because you're homeless. And along with this addiction, the fighting that comes along, I've in and out of jail as well. I would call that forced detox. That was the only time I really ever stopped. And one day, I was in Toronto Hospital at Mount Sinai on University Avenue in Toronto. I had been admitted because the doctors deemed it necessary that I had to be admitted. And there was this elderly Christian gentleman beside me, and he asked me, "What is wrong with you?" That doesn't sound right. What is wrong with you? It's like what he meant was, "What is your ailment? What's causing you to be here?" He said, "For being a young man." Well, I told him that I needed to be medicated in order to stop drinking, or I could die and have a seizure and die. And this gentleman happened to be involved with TC somehow, Teen Challenge. And he said, all I can do right now is make a phone call and get you to London Center ASAP. I said, "I can make a phone call and I can get you there." And I was like, yeah, it's nice talking to you, you know. But the seed had been watered, so he refreshed my memory about Teen Challenge. So I got discharged that day, well, the following couple days, and I continued to live on the streets because it was more comfortable to numb my hurt, my anger, my frustration and loneliness, because through drugs and alcohol, I had temporary euphoria and elation, not to fuel anything. And on the streets, when I was living on the streets, I counted approximately 23 friends that I have lost to addiction, addiction-related deaths. They were all due to overdose, murder, and suicide. I've contemplated, I tried a couple times, but the Lord kept me, because you get tired after a while. You just get tired of the lifestyle. You just lose hope, even though you know you have a chance of going to hell. It gets to the point where you just don't care. But the Lord wanted to keep me around. There's 23 friends that I was thinking about the other day. It was Jimmy Boy. He was in a wheelchair. Fred, from around where I'm from. Tara, a young lady I helped live on the streets. How to survive. Baby girl, overdose. Sika, overdose. Melissa, suicide. Joey, overdose. And I think about these guys, people. Out of the 23 friends, Lord, why did you spare me? Why did you spare me? You took 23 of my friends, but here I am. I was like, what is it, Lord? What do you want from me? You took 23 of my friends. It's not fair. But I question the Lord quite a lot of times when I'm at TC. But I keep resorting to what my mom taught me. Do not question the Lord. There are things I'll never understand sometimes. And God says to me, "For I know the plans I have for you." He says, "I, not you, Leonard, I." One night I was walking around downtown Toronto in Queen and Sherbourne. It's one of the roughest neighborhoods in Toronto. And there's a lot of things. I have had guns pulled out on me. I have been knifed around this neighborhood. I ended up in the hospitals because of those. I had guns. I had been shot at in the past because of my addiction. And in this neighborhood of Queen and Sherbourne in the night, there's a lot of chaos and evil. There's prostitution, rape, murder, robbings, and beatings that happen. A prevalent crime. And there's this small little white chapel. stands near the corner of this Queen Sherburne Street. Amongst this chaos and evil, there's a small Korean evangelist lady standing out there amidst all this, preaching away, proclaiming the gospel, the victory in Jesus, the love that he has for everybody, and that there is hope. She wasn't afraid of anybody. Not afraid of anybody. And here I would hear Teen Challenge guys come over there and speak about their recovery through Christ. I hear him singing, like this song this gentleman sang here. That's part of my testimony. I don't do it alone anymore. I hear the testimonies, and I would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, even though I was under the influence, I could feel. And I would see their victory in their eyes. And a lot of my friends and I could relate to their former struggles. And I longed for it. I wish I had their victory. And for sure, I think that's what solidified. I think there was a pivotal moment in my life, that Teen Challenge was there again. And I knew if I was ever going to change my life and be free from drugs and alcohol, it would be from God, through Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way of Teen Challenge. It was then that I saw hope. I had tried so many different ways. I went to native treatment centers with a native religion. I went to mainstream, where there was a lot of psychiatry involved. None of them worked. Last summer, I was admitted to a hospital in North Bay. There, the doctors were concerned about my mental and my physical state. They told me, Leonard, you got to do something with your life. I said, you are slowly heading to the grave. There again, I had so much alcohol in my system and I was still alive. I should have been dead. So they kept me there. They said they did not want to discharge me until I had a solid plan where they knew where I could get help. And they asked me, where do you want to go? Then in my head at that time, I heard Teen Challenge, and I seen it in black and white and bold. So I picked up the phone, because all these years that had been planted in my head, I remembered, and I thank God for that. So I called. I got accepted. It was through the prayers of friends and families and people that I don't know that got me here. So please pray for people out there that are struggling. There were some challenges. There were some challenges getting here, financial challenges. They said, okay, you're coming next week. I get there. Oh, we got to do this. It was a test of my patience, my faith, and my desire. And they said, okay, not this Tuesday, but now about Friday. And then Friday came. I was like, wow. Then I said, Friday, I'm getting ready to pack my stuff. And they said, oh, no, sorry, next week. I was like, really? I said, like, finally walking down the hallway in the hospital, I said, Lord, you know, I'm trying really hard here, Lord. You know, so he said, patience. I think he was testing my commitment. And I said, Lord, I'll wait. I'll tough it out. We came to, so that day, that morning I left, finally happened that day I actually happened that I come here. Pulled up into the driveway. My first impressions, wow, this place is beautiful with all the trees and the river running by it. We get to see a lot of eagles fly by. It's awesome. And there's a driveway, and there's the hill there. I don't know who's ever been out there. See the crosses on the hill? It reminded me of the sinner on Jesus' side. And when he told him, that's what I think and I thought. This day you shall be with me in paradise. And that's me. I shall be in paradise with him. Over there, I am learning the word of God like I've never before in my life. I get teachings and revelations. There's this elder that comes there and teaches us how the New Testament and Old Testament correlate about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. I call it the spiritual training ground to prepare me to grow strong in the Lord. At TC, learning to care for each other, something I, yeah. It was always about me out in the streets, you know, me. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable. That's where the challenge is. I think they knew what they meant when they put down challenge. Because we have personality clashes. I had one this morning on the way here, coming here, before I left the building. So I had to go talk to my brother. Please forgive me, you know. I'm learning. I realize sometimes I'm wrong. I learned to admit and approach my brother to humble myself. But we grow as a team. When one is down, we lift them up. When one is struggling, we encourage him. And when one is angry, we calm him, we help him calm down. And we do this through prayer. Let's say, brother, let's go aside for a minute, let's pray. And we help with each other, encourage each other with scriptures. Teen challenge, we eat, love, and pray. It's a journey to accept and embrace ourselves. Learning to forgive and love one another is one of the other things that I'm learning over there. God is revealing himself to me slowly and to us over there. And I'm learning to spend time with God, and I love it when I spend time with God before I go to bed and in the mornings. It's such an awesome time when I do that. And that solarium you've seen on the house, I claim it to be my worship room. I pick up the guitar, and I praise and worship God a lot of times there. Even though when I don't feel like it sometimes, when I'm angry and sad, I still do it because God is holy and just, and that's why I do it. I'm beginning to find out it's not all about me. I'm fascinated and captivated by Jesus and his teachings. Learning to thrive for Jesus, and I admire and I desire Jesus. And I think the opportunity, TC, for helping me to grow spiritually so I can eventually minister to the youth on the Northern Reserves, that to let them know that suicide is not the answer, that Jesus is, to give them hope. And right here, Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead that shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. God raised me out of my addiction by his Holy Spirit, not me. And with that, I conclude. Oh, by the way, Jesus rules.
Yeah, Leonard had some challenges getting to Teen Challenge North. He was in the hospital in North Bay, and we were having issues with bus schedules, and then, you know, the Greyhound, I don't know if you realize this, but Greyhound has cut bus service in half to the Sioux, and so just, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he had a few stops and starts and all that kind of stuff, and then the people at the hospital in North Bay wanted to drive Leonard to Sault Ste. Marie. So I'm thinking, this guy's got to be just horrible if they want him out of there that bad. They're going to drive him all the way from North Bay. Of course, that's not the case. I mean, he's just a wonderful, gentle spirit. And that is Leonard, okay? You didn't see a phony baloney. That is him, 100%. You know, Psalm 127, I'm just going to try to wrap this up really quick. I know we're getting really long. Psalm 127 talks about children as being a gift from God. You know, and I think oftentimes when we read that, we think of that in the perspective as a parent, that God gives us these beautiful gifts. But remember, folks, we were all children. You were all gifts from God. You were all gifts from God. some guys, you know, lots of people are struggling, like our gentlemen this morning, Charles and Leonard, have been struggling in their life. Leonard, you know, confessed to thinking of ending his. And there are so many more out there. I talked about sponsorship. I'm not embarrassed to ask for your help, because there are so many more out there that are struggling and are on the doorway of death. We need your help. We cannot do this ministry without you. You are vital to us being able to continue to provide it. I'm praying and hoping that there maybe are four people here today who the Holy Spirit is speaking to become monthly sponsors. If that's you, if you feel blessed, please speak to me after the service. Just going to conclude with one last story. Since my wife and I arrived here 2 years ago, we've spent pretty well all of a lot of our free time exploring God's beautiful creation. And this is one of our favorite places. It's Catherine's Cove up in Superior Park. And we were there one beautiful summer day, and there was hardly anyone there, maybe just another family or two. And we were just enjoying a beautiful sun-soaked day. Stretched out on a blanket on the sand, and the Lord gave us a little gift. He sent a little hummingbird, and the hummingbird kind of came along beside us and came within about 2-3 feet of us as it was collecting nectar from the flowers in the grass on the beach. And then it just continued on down the beach, and I had my binoculars with me, so I continued to watch it. And it got to be about 100 feet away, about as far as from here to the back wall, and did something completely unexpected and unnatural. It flew up about 15 feet into the air, and then it dive-bombed into the water. And it fluttered to the surface, and then it took off and went about 10 feet and back into the water. Did that about 3 more times, and now it's just fluttering on the surface. So my wife got up, and she ran down, and she scooped the bird up into her hands. Have you ever seen a hummingbird that close? Have you ever held one? They are amazing. The feathers change color in the light. And they're tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny little feathers. So it's, you know, it spread its wings out and its feathers out and to dry off. So we brought it back to our blanket so it could fully dry off and warm up in the sun. And then, you know, we just take off. It's not what happened. It started to convulse, and then it died. And I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. We were having a beautiful day, really enjoying ourselves, and then this happens. We quietly packed up our stuff after we buried the bird. We packed up our stuff, and we headed back into the zoo. And on the way back, I'm just, you know, kind of struggling with, God, why did you do that? We were having such a nice day. Why did we have to experience that? And this is what he dropped into my heart. He said, you're worried, you're upset about the little bird. But how do I feel when my precious children struggle, when they do something unexpected and unnatural, and they look to a bottle or a pill or a weed or a powder for their acceptance, for their excitement, for their escape from pain? How do I feel when I watch them struggle and die? It was too late for us to intervene for that little bird. But for the men that come to Teen Challenge, it's not too late. There's still time for God to intervene. There's still time for God to heal and restore and revive them. As I said, we need your help. We can't do it alone. Please pray and consider becoming a part of our monthly sponsorship program. You know, in Matthew 11, just going to close with this. Jesus talks about his own heart. And really, this is a description of what he does at Teen Challenge. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You've all heard about, I'm sure, about needle exchange programs that they have in the city for drug addicts. They provide a place for drug addicts to come, get rid of their old needles, get new ones, and provide them a place to use. Well, Teen Challenge is really an exchange program as well. But it's a heart exchange program. The men that come to our program, they can exchange their broken, shattered sometimes, hearts for one that is healed, whole, and renewed. With a congregation like this, it's almost for certain that there's at least one or two, maybe more, that are struggling personally. You've got a loved one, you've got a son, a daughter, a husband, wife, a friend who's struggling. Maybe you're struggling yourself. Maybe you're going to go home from here today and you're going to open that liquor cabinet. Chances are pretty good. I want you to know that today can be your day for heart exchange. Today can be your day when you give up that broken and shattered heart for one that's healed, whole, and renewed. Jesus is ready. He's here, and he'll meet with you. If you want to speak with us after, if you want to speak with your leadership team about those struggles, I encourage you to. I encourage you to. Jesus is here, and he loves us so much. Thank you again for the privilege and opportunity to come and to share with what the Lord is doing at Teen Challenge North. Thank you.